This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Extraordinary Endeavor. My name is Jeff Sandhu and welcome to episode 9 of our series. We're almost close towards the end of our entire series and I hope each and every one of you listening to this show has learned a thing or two. This is a show featuring real questions from entrepreneurs to a chosen mentor thanks to our partner, Endeavor Malaysia. Endeavor is a global entrepreneur support organization that focuses on selecting and helping high-impact entrepreneurs from around the world to scale their businesses. And you can check out Endeavor Malaysia for more information on how you can get access to mentorships, markets, capital, and talent on their website or social media platforms. Today, we're taking a look at the importance of organizational structure, and our mentor for today is the partner at Bain & Company. He is François Van Ramdonk.
Okay, sure. So, quick intro on my side. My name is François Van Ramdonk. I'm a partner with Bain & Company, a strategy consulting firm, a global firm, but I'm based in KL, Malaysia. Been in Malaysia for the past 4.5 years now, and before that was in Singapore. So, you know, I focus on what we call industrial companies, energy and agri. And so what we do is, you know, advising top management, the board of those companies in terms of, you know, what, you know, growth strategy, turnaround, transformation, digital, performance improvement, M&A, cost reduction, and all those topics. So very excited to be able to share some of ideas today with the group.
Our first entrepreneur for today asking the questions is Vivian Low, the co-founder and COO of Mozery.
Hello, my name is Vivian. I'm the co-founder and COO of Mozery. We design, manufacture, and sell personalized stationery online. Our main products are planner, notebook, sketchbook, and art tools.
Vivian's first question was on best practices for org structure, meaning organizational structure.
My first question is, what are some of the best practices when setting up organization structure? And why is it important to have one?
Yeah, it's a good question. So maybe to open up a little bit, the way we think about this topic is, it's not just org structure. We think about it as what we call operating model. And org structure is actually one part of that. So I'm just going to explain that briefly because I think it's important to put that question in that context. So what we mean by operating model is really what helps us to go from strategy to result. So suppose we have an organization, there's a strategy. How do we make that happen? That has to go through the operating model. And the operating model, as I said, includes, you know, things like the org structure, but that is more what you call the hardware. But it also includes, and is very important, other elements like the decision making, KPIs, feedback loop, processes, management system, data and technology, culture, leadership, ways of working, and talent. So that's whole. You know, you need the hardware and the software to make this work. And a lot of times, people get quite focused on the org structure, which is, you know, the boxes, right? So the reporting lines, the org chart, even job description, which is very important, but that has to go through together with the other dimension that I talked about, which is the software. And working on those is actually very critical. And I think even before COVID, you know, I would say that that's how all companies build competitive advantage. So it's not good enough to have a strategy. But in the environment in which we live today, which is very fluid and dynamic, and where new things are coming up, where innovation is more important and the velocity of innovation is accelerating, and new capabilities have to be built within the organization, it's absolutely critical to have the right op model, and so including the org structure. And that is something that in the past, you know, companies will every few years, they will just have a look at it and maybe change, and there's a pendulum where, you know, organizations go from one model to another. I think now that has become a bit more dynamic in the current environment. So that's something that needs to be relooked at and refreshed and optimized on a much higher velocity. And that's, of course, because, you know, the world in which we live is more dynamic. And also because most company, the way we advise company, is not to have a static strategy, but really to build the muscle to be adaptable And it's not about, you know, this is the strategy and when to go there. It's about having that vision, but also building the muscle to be able to react to change and to be resilient. And for that, you need to have the right organization. Right. But I would, going back to your question, the org structure is a key part of that. And there's a lot of work that goes into how do you optimize that in order to make the company again more adaptive, more efficient. And also there's a cost element to that, which is, you know, where do we remove complexity and cost where they shouldn't be.
I like how Francois took it a layer above and gave an overview of how other elements are also important into what essentially makes up the org structure or the organizational structure. The hardware and the software components are, you know, part of the entire makeup of it. Vivian's next question was around issues when designing their org structure.
What are the most common issues that most companies face when designing their organization structure?
Yeah, so I mean, especially when you're a small company, you see that thing unfolding through your eyes. I would say that when the company is very small, it's very simple, right? You have a sourcing, you buy stuff, you manufacture, you have sales, marketing, and you have finance, etc. And that's very simple. As the company grows, that's where complexity starts to come in, right? You go from one product line to multiple product lines. You go from one country to multiple countries, and each country is a bit different. You might go from one type of customer to different type of customer that behave very differently. And so as you do this, you are building more complexity. And the way that people do it is basically thinking about what's going to be my primary axis, right? So how do I organize my company? Do I split it in terms of country, or do I split it in business lines, or do I split it in type of customer or product line, et cetera, right? But the truth is that you can never avoid having this matrix situation. So matrix is being where you have intersection. You have intersection of countries and categories, for example, and so on. And so the common issue is really that how do you build a model that is very efficient, and at the same time that doesn't creep into complexity, right? And so how do you, and sometimes you cannot avoid having this matrix situation, but there are some common challenges, because as you build the company or you change, you tend to be more slower, you tend to have a lot of interaction, not some of them are not really required, and you start to have a lot of bureaucracy that comes in. And so the distance between the consumer and the management tends to increase with more layers that come between those two. And so the voice of the customer gets diluted and the manager starts to get disconnected from the front line because you have all those layers of intermediate management, right? And so the big challenge is how do you keep that efficient for the company to make the right decision at the right speed and to execute the decision fairly well once those have been decided. And so that's the big challenge, is to manage that complexity in a business that becomes more complex because you just have more product, more customers, and more product and more countries.
As you grow, you will face new challenges. And I like how Francois gave a good idea on what you should be focused on as you grow, and, you know, maybe not let the voices of the customers get drowned out as you grow bigger. Vivian's last question is on restructuring, something I'm very sure many are probably going through right now.
With the current crisis, most of the companies are reducing headcounts and restructuring their roles. Should I restructure my company accordingly? Or should I wait until everything goes back to normal? If I were to restructure, where should I start?
Very good question. So I would say the first observation is I don't think there's such things as going back to normal. I think what we're going to go back to is going to be, might be a new normal. And even that might not come right away. So I think it's definitely important for each company to think a bit about, you know, not only how do I manage the current turbulence, but, you know, what is that new normal going to look like? And is my business model and my organization resilient to that? And just to give an example, the supply chain can be different. You know, you have shorter supply chain, your customer will change the way they, you know, the amount they can spend, the way they spend, and, you know, there might not be a lot of spend on travel, for example, and also the way employees work. You know, not everybody can work from home, but for those who can, that's going to have an impact. And so I think it's important to think a little about what does that mean in terms of the org structure in that new normal. The other thing I would say is, of course, there's a lot of pressure to cut costs and manage cash. But having said that, there's a lot of different levers that one can play with, and it doesn't always have to come all the way down directly to org changes. And so I think the way we think about it is to say, well, you have different levers. Some of them are like, you know, cut everything which is external expenses and reduce discretionary spend when it's possible. And then sometimes that's not enough. You have to make more structural changes. But I would say before you go into hard levers, you can actually do a lot of things. You can freeze, of course, hires. You can not renew contractor. You can look at the benefit. You can look at the bonus pool. You can look at the short term versus long term work. You can review policies on additional time, etc. If it comes to things that are more drastic, then you have levers like the one that I think you were alluding to around, you know, reducing headcount and changing those things. And for that kind of activity, the key thing is, of course, to say where are the pockets of complexity that I can remove. So the practical way to do that is typically, you know, spans and layers. So, you know, so span being for every manager, how many people are direct report to that individual. And if, for example, you have, you know, two person reporting to a manager, that's not a very large span. And then you have layers to say how many layers are there between the CEO and, say, the front line. And if you have many, many layers and a small span, you know that there's probably a room to kind of review that to make it a little bit more effective. But I would say I would really encourage people to think about the full spectrum of different levers not just straight away going to headcount changes, although it's good to have a plan. The other thing I would say is the how to do it is actually very important. This is the time where you need to show a lot of empathy both to your customer, your supplier, and your employees. And while every company will have to do what they have to do, I think the way to manage it is going to be fairly important. People will remember many, many months and years from now what you did in a time of crisis. And while, you know, you look at the airline situation in many countries, airlines are removing a lot of headcount. The way that is being done and how you manage, you know, the impacted population is actually fairly important.
Think about what is the new normal going to look like, and is your business resilient enough to handle that? That was Vivian Loh, the co-founder and COO of Mosery, and we will continue with another entrepreneur after the break, asking questions to our mentor for today, Francois Wan Ramdong, the partner at Bain & Company. Stick around, BFM 89.9.
Brave Finance Managers, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back, and this is episode 9 of Extraordinary Endeavor. Our mentor for today is the partner at Bain & Company, Francois Wan Ramdong, as we are looking at organizational structure. Our next entrepreneur for today is Tommy Yong, the co-founder and CCO of iStore iSend.
Hi, Francois. I'm Tommy, co-founder of iStore iSend. We are a company that does e-fulfillment and enabler services for online business.
Tommy is also a local Endeavor entrepreneur who've passed the LSP or local selection panel, which is the latter stage of the Endeavor selection process before proceeding to an international selection panel. Tommy's first question was on building a structure around people or needs.
I would like to ask two questions. Number one, should a company be organized around the people it has, or should it be restructured based on the new needs, irrespective of the current skill set involved now?
Well, I think if you're an existing company, you have to start with where you are. So you need to look at, okay, I'm here. What are the things I can do incrementally to change that? But I think it's very important at the same time to have a top-down view of where you're heading. So back to what I was saying, what's going to be the business environment in the future? Where are we heading? How resilient are we in that environment? What are the structural changes we need to do? And based on that vision and where we are, think a little bit about how do we change that. So it could be incremental changes if things are in good place, or it can be more structural changes that are required. And and that should be part of the plan. Now, then it has to go back to the skill set. So typically you would say, you know, in that future vision, I'm well equipped in, you know, domain X, Y, Z, but I'm going to have a big issue in certain capabilities. And that's where, you know, you need to kind of fill that gap. And so that will include trying to identify new type of talent or new type of people who can join the organization, but also upskilling the existing population, right? So I would say a combination of, you know, I would say where we are going, looking forward, and then top down, looking backwards around, okay, this is my point of arrival, and hence, what do I need to do differently? And of course, you have your existing pool of people, but I think most companies realize that what has made the company successful so far and the type of people might not always be what you need in the future. And so how do you kind of fill the gap? That's going to be important, and then absorb those different type of people and capability into the organization.
Tommy's next question was on how to relay the communication to the team when restructuring.
If I were to restructure my organizational structure, how should I relay to the team and ensure a high adoption rate? Assuming there will always be new problems, how do I know if and when the new organization structure is effective?
Yeah, so I think there's multiple interpretation of this, but I would say the first is to be clear on why you are restructuring and what are we aiming to do, what are we aiming to achieve. And I think making that clear to the organization, I think is important. So for example, we need to be much closer to the customer. We've lost the intimacy with the customer that we used to have. And so we need to kind of bring the voice of the customer closer to the management, for example. And for that reason, we need to simplify the way we work. Or for example, you know, this business and that other business are being operating too much as a silo. They need to be working together because that's what our customer wants and that's how we want to compete. And so we need to change the structure to bring those two units, for example, into one. So I think the point of arrival and the rationale why we're making those changes has to be very clear to people. And, you know, of course, there's always a narrative around that we want to be more efficient and reduce cost, but that is typically, you know, not the only reason or the main reason. And so once that goal is clear, I think that is to say, this is why we have to change and what is the plan and who will be impacted, and keeping that communication open through the change is very important. So even for the population that is, especially for the population that is impacted a lot, but also for the rest of the organization, very quickly confusion start to come and then rumors and et cetera start to spread. And then to your second part of the question around how do I know if it's effective? I think it's, again, if you know what you are trying to build, then knowing upfront how you're going to measure that. And so it could be around, you know, employee engagement or NPS, Net Promoter Score. It could be around customer, you know, metrics. So there's a lot of way to measure both the efficiency of the organization and the kind of the karma to be able to understand are we going the right direction or not. So I think a little bit generic, but I think it has to tie really closely to the objective of why you're restructuring and the narrative that has to come with it.
That was Tommy Yong, the co-founder and the CCO of iStore iZen, asking our mentor questions around organizational structure. Francois, I've got one last question before we let you go. Is now the right time to do an organizational structure or restructuring? Because many are just trying to survive the few months ahead.
Yeah, that's a good question. My own view, you know, is that this is the perfect time to do a restructuring. And I think it's not only a perfect time, is if you don't do it, there's going to be trouble coming up. Because it's not that, you know, just have to focus on the immediate thing and then wait for things to get back to normal. I mean, as I mentioned, that might, you know, the world will be very different. And so I think very important to have a plan in terms of how do we adapt there. And I think what will be different is that some companies will be more focused on the immediate things to take care of. You know, some companies might struggle to get people back to work, or the supply chain issue that needs to be solved because this supply chain, this warehouse is kind of cannot be open, etc. So those are important things that are very immediate and tactical. But I think at the same time, it's very important for companies to already think a bit about what's going to happen beyond that, and at least to have a plan for that, not just financial plan to say, okay, how are we going to track in terms of, you know, cash flows, etc., But the plan beyond that to say, you know, what need to change in, you know, the way we engage our customer, in our product line, in the way we organize on the supply chain, in the way we work with suppliers. So all of those things, I think it's, and the other thing is people also understand that because everything is happening now, there's actually a strong legitimacy to actually do a restructuring. Whereas, you know, it's a bit harder to do when things are going very well, and it's a bit too late to do when things are very bad.
That was our mentor for today, Francois Van Romdonk, the partner at Bain & Company. And if you've missed any parts of this show, or if you missed any of our previous episodes, you can download the podcast now on the BFM website or the BFM app. This series was made possible thanks to our partner, Endeavor Malaysia. And for more information about how you can seek for mentorship advices, you can visit endeavormalaysia.org. My name is Jeff Sandu, and until next week, stay safe. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.